We're starting a new series. I'm going to be doing part of it, and then we'll carry it on next year. We're going to move around a little bit, purely because we're going to be going into the book of Philippians. And the book of Philippians, we can do this in multiple series. In fact, the passage I'm doing tonight, we could do almost 8 sermon series around that. So I'm not going to torture you too much. I am going to narrow it down a little bit and hopefully give you a bit of a taste of Philippians. That'll make you want to go and dive into it more because there's so much to it. So we'll start with a little bit this year and then move on to next year, take a bit of a break and then move on with it again, almost the part two of the sermons of the series. But I've titled this, and now this is living as a sermon series. And the reason for that is found in Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. And it says this: "For me to live is Christ, and for me to die is gain." This is Paul's longing. His desire is so strong. I want to be with God. Man, I just want to be in heaven where there's Nando's. And, you know, now I want to be there. Just imagine the glory of God. I just want to be in his presence. You know, that was Moses' desire. Lord, let me see your face. Paul just wants to be. And he says, he's just there. Lord, I just want to come. I want to come. But, Lord, you're keeping me alive. And Paul's had many times where he shouldn't be alive. He's gone through so much. But he realizes there's a purpose for him being here, and that is the gospel. To continue advancing the gospel. And so he knows that his heart is in heaven, but his ministry is here. I'm going to live this to the full. I'm going to live for God. I want to see his glory. I want to see the gospel preached. I want to do so much more. I want to live. And so this is the desire behind the series and behind the book, is really just to help us to be reminded of who God is. So much so that we have such a longing for him. God, I want to be with you. I want to know you more. I just want to be in your presence, so aware of you. But God, I know my purpose. I know the plan that you have for me. I know that there's so much more to be done so that many more can come to know you. And this is what he's encouraging. The chapter we're going to be dealing with is chapter 1 tonight. We're going to be going from verse 1 through to chapter 11. I mean, from verse 11. Not chapter 11. We'll be here all night. So what we're going to do is just to highlight a little bit on this. This particular letter, Paul writes in certain formats and letters. This is very relational. In fact, it's part of the reason why we have so many sermons around this. As well, is because you're trying to find Paul's structure. And really, as Paul's writing this, he's writing this and he's just going, oh man, there's so much I want to tell you. You know, it's a desire. Paul's in Rome. He's under house arrest. He's waiting to find out his sentencing. And he's there. He's about to send Timothy to the church. He's got such a desire for them. And he's just writing this relational letter. And it's going on, man. You can see this working out. It's not this massive structure. It's just like, oh man, I want to tell you about this. I want to tell you about what God's doing and how God's still at work, even though I'm in house arrest almost. And the gospel's been advanced still. And I want to tell you, I'm hearing about things about you, and I want to mention this. The church itself is gone through incredible things, and it's a church both of Jews, we're filled with Jews and Gentiles together. They responded to the gospel at first. You know, they really loved the Lord, and they had such a relationship with Paul. And the deeper they grew in love with the Lord, the more that they respected Paul. And Timothy was part of that ministry. And so that's one of the reasons why Paul is going to be sending Timothy, you know, one of the first ministries, mission trips out there. And so Timothy is also there and experienced, and hence why Paul highlights Timothy, Paul and Timothy here. And it's this desire to see them more, to see them grow more, to do so much more. So it's a lovely relational letter. Now I wondered, if Paul had to write a letter to us today, what would he say? Have you ever thought of that? Has he heard about the things that God is doing? Not for our glory, but just seeing the advancement of the gospel. Seeing what God is doing in his life. Well, this is an incredible letter that he's written. Now, I'll give you the comparison with this kind of letter. We've just had a very special 30th birthday in our house. Sarah turned 30, and she gave me permission to tell everyone her age. And And what happened is I decided to do something very special. It was, you know, very difficult to do. I love surprising my wife, and it's difficult to do it. And she decided to do a picnic, and you can't do as much at a picnic. You know, you can't do projections and presentations and all sorts of things. So we decided to get people to write letters, people that she found dear to her, just to ask them to write a letter to her. Now, I went and I was very good at harassing everyone else about writing this letter and bringing it in. I was the last one to give my letter in. I realized why my dad only put his name on the birthday cards and my mother had to write the message. But isn't it a true time where when you write the birthday card, you reflect on the person. You reflect on their character almost. And you're just saying, thank you for this. Oh, man, this is incredible. And you're flooded with some of those memories. Well, this is what Paul's doing with this kind of letter. And you see the title from verse 3 is Thanksgiving and Prayer in the NIV. I give thanks to what God is, what I'm hearing about what God's doing in your life. Give thanks to Him and incredible things that are going on. And he focuses on that. Now, what is he giving thanks in? The growth that has taken place. What God is doing in their life. Their faithful partnership in ministry. They've been such a giving church. They've been so supportive of Paul in his ministry, and particularly while he's under house arrest now. They're faithfully giving still. In fact, their giving was so great that Paul writes in another letter to another church and says, you need to be like the church of Philippi. You need to be like them in their giving. So is the response of their generosity that comes in. But there's been incredible growth that has taken place. So tonight I want to focus on that particularly. Is God is calling us to a maturity that needs to take place in our lives. See, it's not just about knowing Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and stopping there. But God wants to transform us. He wants to be involved. He wants us to be in love with Him even more every day. So should be our desire. We should be going from milk to solids. We should be doing so much more. In fact, Charles Spurgeon likens this, and he says that it's true that we are made perfect through Christ. But we're not perfect, perfect. That makes sense. And he goes on to give this illustration. You would say a baby is perfect. I don't know. There's some babies that don't look perfect. But, you know, got 10 toes. It's got its fingers. It's working. It cries. It has nappies. It does what a baby should do. It's perfect. And you would say it's a perfect baby. But would you say that that baby was a perfect man? No. And that's what he likens, the illustration. There's growth that needs to take place. It's got everything it needs, but yet growth needs to take place. And so we as the church need to grow. We can't just sit where we're at. We can't say, Lord, I want to know your salvation. I want to know security in my salvation, but I want to do things my own way. I want to go about this my own way. Lord, I just want a little bit of you, a little bit of comfort, a bit of warmth, just that. But I want to do this. Paul's encouraging the church because there is growth in them. And we're going to go into this. So verse 1, just to give you a bit of my structure. Long intro tonight and very short, quick 3 points. And we'll see the points as we get through to chapter 9. It's not chapter 9, first line. Maybe the Lord is saying that we need to be... And as we get through to some of the later verses, I'll highlight the point. So bear with me a little bit. I just want to unpack this. So Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi. The saints. The response there to the saints is the church. It's not to just to those who sit in the front row. Okay? It's to the church. It's their position. It's not that they are quite saints. All right? I would love to go back to my grade two teacher and say to her, I'm a saint. I'm a saint because of what Christ has done in me through the cross. And so he's responding already, reminding them of their position. The saints here wasn't the leadership. In fact, we see the leadership being mentioned a little bit later. The overseers, if you see in the King James, the bishop says here, and the deacons, and the leadership that would have been responsible there. Those aren't called the saints. The church here is called the saints. So he reminds them of their position that they have in Christ, it says. Not in what I've done, in what you've achieved. In Christ, you are a saint. Now look to the person next to you and tell them you're a saint. Yeah. Jason, I would also laugh if Satan was next to me. Okay. You're a saint because of Christ and only through Christ. We need to remember that. Because as Christians, we sometimes walk around feeling defeated. We've just failures. We've given. It was never in us. It is in Christ. We need to be reminded of that. Verse 2. Grace and peace be to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Paul could have gone on shalom, kind of normal greeting here. He could have just highlighted as some of the common days would be is peace be to you, because everyone wanted peace. But he starts off here by saying grace and peace. Who from? From God. That's where our peace needs to come from. But he uses the word grace first. Because when we understand grace, we understand the fact that God has paid us all. This ultimate gift that comes from Him, He has given us salvation. He's given us His Holy Spirit. He wants to be involved in our lives, not by what we've done, simply because of who He was. Even if we kept messing up, even if we were the worst of the worst of the worst of the worst, God's grace is sufficient. And he reminds us, because when we understand God's grace here, then we can know God's peace here. See, because if we don't know him as our Lord and Savior, may we wrestle until we find that peace we're looking for, because it comes from him. Do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Experience his grace. And I want to highlight that more and more. Guys, we're going to mess up. As a pastor, I'm afraid if you look to me as if I'm a saint, I am not. I mess up. Man, I get it wrong so often. But yet I've experienced God's grace. Be reminded of God's grace in our lives. Verse 3. I thank my God every time I remember you. See the relational letter? I thank my God. Oh man, my Lord, my Savior. That personal relationship with God and the personal relationship with the church. It's not just a, hey, I remember that church. It's this deep connection that he has with this church. Every time I remember you. Every time he remembers him, what does he do? He responds in thanks, in prayer. Shouldn't we be doing that together as a church? So I've titled the sermon tonight, Growing Up Together, because we've all got to grow together. You see, we've got to be encouraging one another. We should be spurring one another on, as the Bible tells us. We should be desiring for others around us to grow more, to see them experience God more, to see them be used by God more. And so what does Paul respond? Every time I remember you, I give thanks. I pray. How often are we praying together as a church? Grab a prayer journal. Go through the church directory and pray for one another. Pray for those who are in your small group, in a team that you minister with. Pray for them that God would continue to work in their life and use them. We need to be praying together as a church. I love it as a staff. We get to pray through the prayer journals. Whether you send an email back or not, you get prayed for. And it's incredible because it helps us to remember who's in the church and who's not. Oh, we haven't seen this person for a while. But to be able to partner in some of those requests, and we keep it confidential. And it is lovely to see God at work in people's lives. To journey. Our home cell, one of the things that stands out for me in the home cell is we've had some heavy times and some heavy prayers. And yet to see God's faithfulness and to be able to be part of that. Pray for one another every time we remember. What does he pray? In my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership. Don't you love that? Imagine Paul was writing a letter to us, I pray with joy. And it's this incredible what's going on. I've been in ministry now, in full-time ministry, 18 years. I started, one of my churches that I served at was at Durbanville Baptist with Basil Sparks. And he rubbed off on me, and that's why I've got no hair. But I started with a grade 4, 5, 6, and 7 home cell group. And out of that home cell group, 3 of them are in full-time ministry today. Married and having kids of their own, some of them. I was at the Baptist Union Assembly with one of the youngsters that was in grade 4, and he's taken a call to Common Ground as a children's pastor. Oh, man, the joy. And not just for those who are serving the Lord in ministry full-time, because I tell you what, the core of some of the guys that are in Durbanville and in other churches are from that home cell, core leaders. Oh, man, God did great things and is still doing great things. This is the joy Paul's writing. Shouldn't be rejoicing in one another. Man, I so want to see God working in my friend's life. I so want to see God working in the church. I want to see people growing closer to Him. That when I pray, I rejoice in what God is doing in them. I pray because of your partnership here in the gospel from the first day until now. They responded. There were one of the churches where many responded to the gospel first time. And Paul journeyed and loved this church. And the ministry and great things were happening. They were faithful. They went through trials. They saw persecution, but yet they remained faithful. And he's seen that. It's not just partnership in giving that Paul's talking about. It's not just a missional letter that it's getting a report back or feedback. But so much more. That partnership is not just in what God is doing through me, Paul, but also what God is doing in you. You know, the fact that you desire God, the fact that you desire to see God's kingdom come. This is what he's talking about. That God is doing these things, and that's in great joy. Now, one of my favorite verses, verse 6. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion to the day of Christ Jesus. Do you know, as Christians, what we typically do when we understand that we have a gospel that is in Christ and Christ alone, not determined on our works, on what we've done, but on him, what do we tend to do? We thank God's grace and mercy. We say, thank you, Lord, that you're my Savior. Now I must do. And we get into a tick box mode. God, I read my quiet time today. I prayed to you for 5 minutes. I went to church once a month and Easter and Christmas. I did this, tick, 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 tick. And we start to make it works-based. And we start to miss out on that relational basis. And we get to that point where we say, God, I need to be this kind of person before you can use me. God, I need to do this. And we start to put conditions around how God can use you. We can start to place that in the basis. Or we simply just don't want God to use us. We don't want God to work in us. And so we pause. One of the storybooks from a famous Christian author writes about a lady in a town in Ireland who was kind of had a remote house in Ireland. She was very wealthy, but held onto her purse strings very tightly. And what happened is the town was really surprised because she was one of the first to put up her name to get electricity into her house. It only took her 5 years because Eskom was involved. No. So what happened is after months of digging and trenching and getting the cables to her house, it got all working and the meter reader came around to read the meter, looked at it, but puzzled and went to the lady and said, is everything working? Knocked on the door and said, everything working? She said, oh, it's working perfect. He says, but when I read your meter, there's very little electricity being consumed. She says, all I do is I wait till the sun goes down. I switch on the lights just enough time for me to light the candles and then I switch it off. Don't we do that? God, I want to know security of salvation, but that's it. I don't want transformation. That lady's house was never transformed. She had the connection, but it never transformed the house. Have we stopped that? Have we stopped saying, God, I want you to work in me? Paul's sentence here, what he's writing here, he's confident in what? He's confident in God. He's confident that God is able to transform us. It was never in the church. I'm confident that you're able to get through all the things and pass all the exams and know as much scripture and to do this and to do that. I'm confident in God, who is able to finish the good work he began in you. How's that? God is doing great work in you. Why? Because it's him. It's not because of us, but because of him. He is able to do it, and he is able to complete it. Are we allowing God to transform our life? Or are we simply having a connection, and that is it? We need to allow God to complete that good work in us. It is right for me to feel this way about you, all since I have you in my heart. Again, relational letter. In my heart, so deep. For whether I am in chains or defending or confirming the gospel, you all share in God's grace with me. This deep-rooted partnership that Paul has with him. This close bond. If we want to grow together, if we want to grow closer to God, let's grow together. Be part of a home cell. Be part of an accountability. Be part of a journey with a friend that's going to help us and saying, hey, how are you doing with God? Where are you at? Journey together. Let's spur one another on. Let's encourage one another on. This is so important for our spiritual growth. Just reminding us, focusing on the Lord. And we need somebody to remind us to do that. For you sharing God's grace with me, and God can testify how I long for you with affection of Christ Jesus. Some of the translations say, I long for you with affection, I long for you all with the, instead of affection, it talks about with the bowels of Christ. That's weird, but this is more, it's a deep emotional experience that he's talking about. And he's not just talking about his experience, just as Christ longs for you. Just as Christ wants to work in you. Because Christ is in me, and this is what Paul was saying, I have that same affection for you. That same desire that he has, I have for you. That's incredible that God has a desire for us to know him more, to be used by him more. See, God could have easily just died on the cross for us, for our sins, and said all the best. But he sent us his Holy Spirit to be in us, involved in us. That God doesn't just worry about our salvation, but wants to use us. How incredible is that? God wants to use you. He wants to work in you, and he wants to work through you. Man, and he is longing for you. This is what Paul is saying. Let's get to my 3 points. Verse 9. And this is my prayer. What's the prayer? Point 1. That your love may abound more and more in the knowledge and depth of insight. Firstly, he prays that our love needs to grow in the knowledge and insight. See, he doesn't explain the love part more because he speaks about the environment in which love needs to grow, and that is knowledge and insight. Now, the word here, knowledge, is not one of I've done this, I've understood this. I have read the Wikipedia page and I can do this. Okay, I've watched the Google YouTube video clip and I can weld. I can, you know, perform surgery if anyone wants. It's not talking about this completeness. It's talking about a knowledge that's experimental as it's growing along. Okay? So as I work together, as I'm working things out here, I'm understanding more. This is the knowledge that he's talking about. What is that knowledge? As we have that relationship with Christ, as we daily desire Him as we learn so much more. As we spend more time in His Word, it comes part of us. It needs to be a lifestyle, not a tick list. We do things for Christ, not because of trying to get acceptance, because we've been accepted. God, I long for you. I've got such a desire for you. And our knowledge grows. And so, as our knowledge grows, so should our love. The more I learn about my wife, the more I love my wife. The more she knows about me, the more I realize she's long-suffering. But isn't that true? The more we get to know someone, often that we're intently involved in, don't we love them more? Don't we have this desire for them more? So may your knowledge grow in Christ. Are you desiring to learn more about God? Are you desiring that with your heart? This is what he's saying. And insight. What's this insight? Well, he's talking about not just knowing, but applying, doing, living it out. That's the insight. I want to do more. I want to know you, but I also want to be used by you. I want to know your truth. I want to be in love with your truth, with your word. And I want to get involved more. I want to share that more. Don't we, when we have new knowledge, found knowledge, want to share it more? Jason has pointed out a few birds to me. I can't remember the names, but I've pointed those very birds out to people and said, did you know that's a number 7 bird? And I was eager to tell them that because I have my new knowledge. Shouldn't we, as we learn more about God and understand Him more and see His faithfulness, His love, and shouldn't we be sharing that? Man, I want to tell you about what God is doing. I want to tell you about what I read in my quiet time. Man, I want to tell you what God is saying. Shouldn't we be doing that as a church? So our love needs to grow in the knowledge and insight. Knowledge and insight is the environment in which that love needs to grow. And when we do that, when we have the knowledge and the insight, it goes on to tell us our next part, is that we need to grow with being able to discern what is best and pure. Being able to discern what is best and pure. It goes on, verse 10. So that you are able to discern what is best and what may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ. So that you may be able to discern what is best and pure and blameless until the day of Christ. When we start to know, we will start to do. I'll give you an illustration of this. Have you ever smoked someone's stickant? That you spend all your time getting to know them. All right? You'll know how many sugars they have in their coffee and how they like their coffee. I focus on coffee first because it's the first important thing you need to know. And you get to know them and you know how their coffee, so that why? So you can prepare this coffee for them. You can show them that you've learned a lot about them. You hear about their likes and you're like zoned in on this, trying to understand their likes and their dislikes. Why? To win them over. So when we love God, it should then ought to bring a discerning. God, I want to do what is best for you. I want to do what is best for your glory. I want to do this. God, I want to keep myself pure. I don't want to get involved in that. But I want to change. I spent some time just talking to one of a couple that had been married for many, many years. And I'm not going to mention their names. But he spoke about meeting this lady, and she was incredible. And the first thing she said, she didn't like smokers. And all of a sudden, he stopped smoking. Because I want to do what's best for her. It was the best way to stop smoking. And he cut back on that. Are we so in love with God that we now discern what is best here? What is pure? What is key here? Paul's writing this because the church is also going to experience two sides. It's going to experience legalism and a lot of liberalism coming in. Sides on both sides attacking the church, and this is what it needs to be. And they need to be discerning of God and what God is leading in this church. And so he's writing this, be discerning. You're able to discern what is best, what is pure, what's going to keep us blameless till the day of Christ. Do we have that desire to look and say, God, I want to keep myself pure for you. I want to live for you. I want to do so much more for you until the day you return. Lastly, we need to be filled with righteousness. Filled with righteousness. Verse 11, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Amazes me, as I've said already, God didn't just leave us alone, but sent us His Holy Spirit. We are going to wrestle with things, and we're going to have many, many, many struggles. But daily, may we surrender and say, God, I need you. God, I want to live for you. God, I want to grow up for you. I want to be used by you. And when we do that, we allow God to transform our lives. What shines out? His righteousness. Because righteousness only comes through Jesus Christ for His glory. Let us pray. Father God, we just thank you. We thank you that you want to use us. We thank you that you died on the cross for us. We thank you that you want to transform us so that we may shine your glory. I think of Moses coming down the mountain and how his face shone, how he had to cover that up. Lord, I pray that may our times with you make our faces shine so that others may see your glory. Because Lord, Paul's desire was not to pull rank and talk about how great he is and what God was doing and look at what I'm doing, but to simply see your glory. Lord, may we live for you to see your glory in our lives. May you work in us and through us. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. That all of this is through you. Not in what we are doing. But I pray, Lord, that you would give us such a desire for you, such a desire for your word, such a desire to see your glory, so that we may grow up being used by you. In your name, amen.